This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. Before we get to that, just a quick reminder what's happening after the 8 o'clock bulletin, the Breakfast Grill. And today our guest is Gavin Proudley, Global Director of Due Diligence at Dow Jones. And Brian's going to be speaking to him. Now, let's return to the subject that you took up earlier, Han, with Vishnu Varadhan there in Singapore. And it's about the Fed rate hike, and what did you learn primarily from that discussion? If you could just give us a quick recap of that.
Yeah, well, according to Vishnu, it looks like the outlook for the Fed's US interest rates appears to be biased towards more, as in four, than the three originally penciled in by former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, right? So, I mean, if you look at the dot plot, yeah, the median is still at about three, but, you know, given the relatively more hawkish tones coming out of new Fed Chair Jerome Powell coming out last night, or actually early this morning, it seems to imply that now we could brace ourselves for more rate hikes this year.
But you make it sound like a negative. Isn't it a reflection of the fact that they're confident the economy is growing, it's doing better, so they don't have to push out all this liquidity into the market? They can pull back on some of that. It really is a sign of confidence, isn't it?
Well, I mean, in a way, well, it is a sign of confidence in the U.S. economy, but as for global investors, they've got to look at this and think about how to manage their investments as well,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
The reason I brought it back to Bank Negara is because often other central banks would have to maintain that premium spread, at least, you know, when comparing developing markets to the U.S., mm-hmm. maintain that spread between U.S. interest rates versus ours, mm-hmm. so as to attract investment. So, you know, if Bank Negara is just doing one and done, as Vishnu suggests, and so that spread is compressed, will foreign investors still be inclined to invest in Malaysia?
So, in fact, it's good that you mentioned Malaysia and the rest of the world, apart from beyond the shores of the U.S. How are other countries dealing with this? I mean, are they moving with the Fed?
Well, China has a tightening bias, and then India, Indonesia, and Thailand are likely to hold. Korea, I think they're looking at two hikes. Malaysia and the Philippines likely to see one hike, and we've already seen that hike. Hence why the one and done, right? And then Singapore returned to appreciation bias, and Hong Kong, only Hong Kong, I guess, tightening with the US in a way. That's what analysts are saying.
Yeah, but I think it's also important to note that we just had February inflation data coming out yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, this is for Malaysia, 1.4%. Now, it's a lower in over a year, right? So, you know, Vishnu is saying that don't be seduced by this low inflation, because if this trend is to persist, this lower inflation, if this is going to persist, that will remove one of the legs that Bank Negara could stand on in terms of justifying another rate hike this year.
I think what's fascinating for me as a non-specialist listening to these conversations about, interest rates and stuff, is that there's actually a debate about how to determine whether the economy is in fact recovering or doing well. And, you know, people use all kinds of indices, there are all kinds of barometers for it. Mm. And there is no one perspective on how to determine this.
Well, yeah, whether that's a correct perspective or not, and balancing that out, you know, and looking also at interest rates and also our currency, how to balance that as well.
Well, I guess for the average layman, interest rates are important. Why? Because it's going to affect not just your deposit rates, but also the interest rates on your loans. That's going to affect how much money you have.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the likelihood of that debt getting bad, right?
And I'm a typical layman if there was one. Now, let's move on to our next topic. According to Moody's, a change in the federal government poses little risk to Malaysia's sovereign credit rating. However, that's not the full picture.
Yeah, so Moody's had a roundtable here in KL recently, or just yesterday, and it's interesting to see how the local business dailies frame that discussion. The New Straits Times Business has the headline, Ratings Intact. Starbiz goes with Malaysia's contingent liabilities low risk. And the Edge Financial Daily's headline reads, Change in government unlikely to affect Malaysia's rating. But the Edge's headline is only half the story, because in smaller print from the headline, it goes on to say that, and I quote, this is so long as long-term policies are not disrupted.
Well, so different kind of headlines coming out, yeah?
Yeah.
And so is that a reflection of their own political bias or sentiments? I mean, the way they want to spin this?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because look, if you take what Moody's comments are, or at least their reported comments, right, versus what Pakatan has in its election manifesto, for example, they have said, right top and center, they want to abolish the GST. So you got to ask yourself, is that in keeping with the existing long-term policies? So if they're not going to keep with that long-term policy, what does that do for Malaysia's sovereign credit rating?
Yeah, I think the question is the GST. Abolishing the GST is just one item in a 134-page manifesto about the governance as well as the economy. And if you look at the people who are helming the Pakatan, they're pretty much, I think, in the center. And I think that's something about Malaysian politics is really quite centrist. We look at the way in which the Penang and Selangor governments have conducted themselves. I mean, to the disappointment of some people on the fringes of our political spectrum, they are very much like Barisan Nasional. I mean, their developmentalist ideology and outlook and who they cater to. And, they're actually very business friendly too.
Well, GST, coming back to GST, I think that's a very hot topic. There are a number of people out there who have blamed GST for the rise in cost of a lot of things. But I guess there are also, on the flip side, some people, I mean, what they don't see also is the added revenue that the government is getting from GST. And, we need that added revenue. And it's a more broad-based tax. It's as you consume, you pay the tax. If you don't consume, don't pay the tax.
Yeah, I think on BFM, we have a consensus. I think we're all for the GST. We see the wisdom in it. And I think so it surprises us when we have to deal with advocates of, pushing back on the GST, who've targeted maybe unfairly or caricatured the GST as the main problem behind the cost of living issue.
But then again, I must say, when GST came in, a number of things, the price did go up, but it's because of the suppliers, or if you go to the wet market, they just up
that was expected, right? One-off.
Yeah, right, one-off. But, they're just simply pricing it. Whether or not there's the actual GST that they themselves had to bear with is a different thing. I think that is why there are a number of people on the ground who feel that prices went up because of the GST, but they don't see that it's also because of the added revenue that the country needs. Right.
And also, if this GST is abolished, and if Pakatan wins the Putrajaya, and if they revert back to that SST, I wonder how many business owners out there will actually take the initiative to then bring their prices back down. I think that remains to be seen. But the reason so much emphasis is placed on that one particular policy, proposed policy, beyond the 130 or so that you mentioned there just now, Sharad, is because of the ramifications across the Malaysian economy, right? From the fiscal perspective, you're immediately deprived from what, over 40 billion ringgit in revenue. How do you make up for that shortfall? How do you pay for all the other stuff that Pakatan proposes to roll out?
Right, sorry. One of the arguments they make, of course, is that they'll plug leakages, wastage, and corruption. I mean, they think they can give you a guesstimate on how much, what the cost of all that is, wastage, corruption, and leakages, and they say that perhaps will compensate for the loss.
Yeah, to the tune of 40 billion ringgit a year. Yeah, sure. But then also, in going back to this Moody's discussion here, we also got to consider the implications on Malaysia's sovereign credit rating. Now, it may not mean much for the average layman, but from a fiscal perspective, if we get downgraded, the borrowing costs of the Malaysian government, or even Malaysian corporates by extension, those who are, let's say, GLCs, for example, these borrowing costs will go up. Now, if you're already worried about existing debt levels and the levels of interest payments that we're already paying, what more in the case of a downgrade? Now, I'm just pointing out possible scenarios here. These are the possible implications, and I guess this is what Moody's is looking at when looking at Malaysia's profile.
Well, Moody's also, they have pointed out that Malaysia's debt to GDP ratio is high when compared to other A-rated sovereigns, right?
Yeah, keep in mind, this is, again, for public debt, yes, so not for household debt. So household debt, it is high. It is at about 85% of GDP, moderated somewhat, but still quite elevated, relatively speaking. So Malaysia's government debt to GDP ratio is 51%, and Moody says that's still quite high compared with other countries with an A sovereign credit rating. The median among A-rated sovereigns is 41% right now.
Yeah, but there's a key mitigating factor. Malaysia's public debt is largely denominated in ringgit. So about 97% or almost all of Malaysian debt is denominated in the local currency. So this mitigates external risks to the Southeast Asian nation. So in other words, our debt exposure to foreign currency fluctuations is relatively low.
Yeah. But what else is there in this conversation about risk? Because we do tend to extend this discussion to the question of contingent liabilities and all that. Are we mixing things up? Are we lacking clarity as to what it means when we have this kind of debt?
Well, look, when the sovereign credit ratings agencies, you know, give their outlooks, that's always they give both sides, right? So, you know, there are also risks to Malaysia's sovereign credit rating profile, you know, a slowdown or a stall in economic growth if government debt continues to rise, external shocks, etc. But when it comes to 1MDB, they do not view 1MDB as a threat to Malaysia's sovereign fiscal strength.
So actually, 1MDB actually turned up on the conversation. It was on the table at this discussion.
Always, you know. I mean, whereas when we talk about the sovereign credit ratings, or debt levels, contingent liabilities, 1MDB always comes up. But Moody's has said, and in fact, they've said time and time again, that they do not expect those debts from 1MDB to crystallize onto Putrajaya's books.
Did they say why?
I think because of the quantum of it. And also, for example, you know, right now there's only about 5.3 billion ringgit bond outstanding by 1MDB, right? 5.3 billion ringgit, relatively speaking, is quite low. And also, there's another $1.75 that has a letter of support from the government. So all in all, you know, the probability is low in terms of debt.
Okay, very quickly, there are other experts that have been weighing in on the implications of a change in federal government there.
Yeah, so let's start with the BMI research. They're saying that under Fitch Ratings, they're an international research firm under Fitch Ratings, and they didn't hold back. They say that Pakatan's election manifesto, 10 promises in 100 days, is detrimental to the economy. They're saying that it's unrealistic.
Okay, they're saying it's unrealistic. Now let's move on to the question of the digital economy. The latest news on this is that the European Commission has unveiled plans to tax companies that are where they actually generate business rather than where they're headquartered, and that's a big move.
Yeah, sure. So it's a digital tax on revenues earned by internet giants, and the levy will be set at 3% and could raise up to 5 billion euro dollars. That's about 24 billion ringgit a year for Europe's coffers from the likes of Google, Facebook and Apple. And it will only be on certain revenue streams, online revenue streams like sale of user data or online advertising. So it's a huge move because it looks like they're going to tax on revenues rather than profits.
Yeah, because the idea here is to kind of balance out what the tech guys are paying versus what the traditional businesses are paying, okay? Just to give you an idea about the disparity there. The effective tax rate for digital companies, less than 10%. Traditional businesses, over 23%. So, you know, there is that huge gap there. So the EU is stepping in. I mean, it's not just the EU. The OECD is looking at it as well.
A lot of governments are looking into it.
But this
is a big move, though, because it's the first time a region, EU, right, and they're looking into this. Like, they've actually come out to say that they want to tax and this is their plan.
Okay, so, so it says where they collect those revenues as opposed to where the company is headquartered, right? So that's also interesting because where companies decide to place themselves has to do with the tax regime within that country. So what countries are saying is, well, if you're earning money in my country, say Malaysia, and you might be headquartered in Singapore, I don't really care. You know, I'm not going to follow that. You know, you're going to have to pay me for the monies and profits that you made or revenues that you made here, right?
Yeah, but if you go back to how tax is calculated, in a way, you're always taxed at source, where you get the income from. You can be headquartered anywhere else, but if you're deriving income from another country, it's the spirit of taxation in a way. Where are you getting your money from? You should be taxed from that, right? Rather than where you're headquartered. I mean, that's fair in a way.
Okay,
but how are they going?
Okay, now the question is, now it's at a proposal stage. The question is there support for this legislation, or this push, or this initiative, whatever you want to call it?
Okay, well, so you are seeing some pushback already from the likes of Luxembourg because they are hosting some Google sites over there, and also the likes of Ireland, right? Because they're saying, we are okay without the tax. Why? Because the likes of Google and all these big guys, they've got their offices in my country, they are creating jobs in my country, so I'm good, right? But then, so they are pushing back against this uniform proposed digital tax plan across all 28 member states.
Yeah, everyone to agree. So if one doesn't agree, it's not going to happen, right? Mm. And I think Google is planning a 1 billion euro dollar data center in Luxembourg. So, you know, you got to weigh that, I guess, for Luxembourg. They want that rather than, you know.
Okay, not to be left out of the conversation, in Malaysia, Deputy Prime Minister Ahmad Zahid Hamidi has said that he would raise the matter of taxes on Google and Facebook advertisements in the weekly cabinet meeting.
Yeah, and so Google Malaysia quickly responded to that, you know, trying to lobby Putrajaya, you know, and saying that, hey, they already pay all the taxes that it owe in the country. Obviously, Putrajaya has a different stance on this. Well, not enough, perhaps. So hence this bill, here, proposed bill.
Yeah, I think this came up because some media companies went to Deputy PM Datuk Sri Zahid Hamidi to say that, you know, basically all these big giants, they're getting advertisements, but, you know, are they paying taxes?
Right. So, you know, from the media's guy's perspective, it's a form of protectionism. Mm. Hey, right, you got to protect us a little bit. And you kind of see this undertone as well with what the EU is doing, because you can't help but think about the timing of it, right? This comes at a time when President Donald Trump has just increased tariffs over there, you know, and the EU, when announcing this new digital tax plan, you know, purposefully said that, oh, this tax plan does not target specific countries, it does not target specific companies, when in reality, you look at, you know, where Google and Facebook and Twitter and all these guys are, they are in the States. So there's some commentary out there saying that, hey, this is a form of pushback against those tariffs that are being imposed by the U.S.
But surely the U.S. government must also want to do digital taxing, right? I mean, if they if people are coming into their grounds to take income away, don't you want to tax them as well?
Not so much, at least for the U.S. administration right now, because they have just laxed their corporate tax rules. They are encouraging repatriation of funds. Take that money in here, spend it on your people, give bonuses, dividends, etc.
Yeah, that's traditional businesses. But the new economy, some of them are not even paying yet. You know, in a way, depending on where they come. I mean, look at Airbnb. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not paying, but they have agreed to work with Malaysia on tax collection. They're looking at taxing, you know, collecting a new tourism tax of 10 ringgit per night for Airbnb members who rent out 5 rooms or more. So there's all this other economy happening outside the formal economy.
And I
right?
wonder if people are going to start declaring that income in, you know, come
Correct.
May this year. I wonder if
yeah.
they're going to do that.
Whether they do, they declare it or not.
We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.